even though we live in Southern California, we all have our traditions, don't we? We have really lovely traditions. Traditions are great. Maybe for some of you, your holiday tradition consists of caroling. I don't know. Does anybody carol anymore? We might worry about getting shot or something. I don't know, but nobody in my hood carols. But caroling's lovely, or lighting Advent candles. Jess and I actually produced an Advent book with devotions for lighting Advent candles. I didn't know people did that until we did that, and that's a fun thing to do. Or baking cookies. I know you guys are going to bake some cookies here, and that's lovely. Decorating a tree. This is the first year I actually, and our son Joel is so unhappy with me because I got a fake tree. You know, I mean, I finally said, I'm too old. And I'm just done. I'm done with all of the little things all over the floor, and then trying to hang stuff and it doesn't fit. And besides that, I have all these allergies, you know, and then the pollen from the tree. So I broke down and got a fake tree this year, and I put it up, and it was so amazing. It took me like 45 minutes to decorate it, and I'm all like, yay, I love this. This is great. My son said to me, Christmas is dead to me now, so no guilt there. I should tell you, my son is like 37. It's not like he's 5 or anything. So deal with it. And then, you know, the whole baking meals together, that's fun. And maybe your Christmas traditions look like this picture. Oh, aren't they lovely? We've never done that. Or perhaps your tradition includes travel to family, or having family travel to you. How many of you are doing that this season, traveling or having people travel to you? And maybe it looks like this. Yay! You know, we have this Norman Rockwell kind of expectation about Christmas, don't we? Our family has its own very strange Christmas traditions. First of all, we rent a 15-passenger van and cram all 14 of us into it. Now, you have to understand that this sounds like a good idea. Every year it sounds like a good idea. Let's all go look at Christmas lights. But honestly, someone is always sick. And little kids, we serve them foolishly, and every year we do the same thing because, you know, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different outcome, right? So we serve the children, my grandchildren, cocoa, and then we expect them not to have to go to the bathroom for 2.5 hours. I gotta go to the bathroom. Well, there's no place to go. Just hold it. So anyway. And then we crank up some redneck Christmas music and drive around looking at Christmas lights, being gleefully obnoxious. We're just terribly obnoxious when we're all together. It's really awful. And there's a picture of us a couple of years ago. That's the fam. There's 14 of us going around. Whatever your tradition is, at the end of the day, you probably look like this picture. Right? It's like, oh, I can't stand it. So traditions are wonderful. They draw together family and friends. I'm very happy for our Christmas tradition of going and looking at lights, because I know that tomorrow night after church, we're all going to pile into that van and then scream at each other for about 2.5 hours. It'll be great. Traditions build history and a sense of permanence. And I want my grandchildren, my children and my grandchildren, to know that there is a security, there's a sense of permanence in their lives. They communicate a sense of who we are and what we're like. I don't know quite what that creature means about what we're like. But again, if you go on the podcast, you'll hear about it. And I think actually in a week or so, we're even going to post a video of what we do with that creature. It's very strange. And then they make us know that we're part of something that is larger than ourselves. We're part of a family. And those are all wonderful things. They are good things. Family identity can be a very wonderful thing. So please, in what I have to say now, do not think that I think that family identity is a bad thing, right? I think it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing. Traditions are wonderful, but they cannot save us. And my concern is that sometimes we invest, maybe you don't have a bunch of traditions, but even just this holiday season, we invest the holiday season with so much importance that we get in trouble when things inevitably don't turn out the way we hope they will, right? I mean, seriously. No one's dinner ever looked like anything Norman Rockwell painted. I mean, maybe it did for 30 seconds. But, I mean, you know, how long does it take to demolish that? We get into trouble when we start to think that they can. And so what I want to do now in the time that I have left is just to talk to you, maybe give you a little bit of help and freedom about how to think about your traditions. Traditions can't save us. We won't be able to find our okayness in having beautiful traditions. Now, what do I mean by that? I'm using that word okayness in the way that the Bible uses the word justification. And I'm going to talk about that. Sometimes we look at this season and we think that if we can just get the right present for the right person, or if we can do any number of things, which I'm going to talk about, if we can just get it right this time. I remember a few years ago, Christmas Day was over. I think it was maybe in the evening. And I was talking to Jessica, our daughter, and I said, I don't know, honey, how did it feel for you today? Did it sort of feel like something was missing? It wasn't quite there. And she said, well, Mom, it's not going to be perfect. It's not supposed to be. That's not what this is about. And I said, oh, yes, thank you. Smart, aleckly little girl. No, not really. Very thankful for that. We won't be able to find our okayness in having beautiful traditions or events because our traditions aren't meant to make us okay. So what do I mean by that? Like when you lay your head down on the pillow on Christmas night and you say, I pulled it off. I'm good. I'm okay. I'm as good as my mom. I'm better than my mom. You see, I really am. I created a scene that is good enough to let me know I'm okay. Our traditions, the way we handle really anything, but I think particularly at this time of year, the way we handle those things, they will crush us. And they're way, way too flimsy to support the weight of our desire to look at ourselves and think we're okay. Does that make sense? You look at yourself and you think, I got the right present. That was exactly what she wanted. Exactly what he wanted. I did it. I'm okay. Well, what happens when you miss it? We can't find our okayness in having beautiful traditions. Our okayness, or what the Bible calls righteousness, right? That's what we're all longing for. We're all longing to be able to look at ourselves and know we're okay. what the Bible would call righteous. We want to look at ourselves and know that we're righteous. That only comes from one place. It doesn't come from anything we can do. It only comes from faith in the Savior. Now, Paul admitted that all his traditions, even his religious ones, all the righteousness he got from his identity as a Pharisee was rubbish. Now, that's a nice word for something else that's not nice. Paul said, all of these things, all of the places where he used to get all of his righteousness from, all of his okayness from, all of his ability to look at his own life and know that he's getting it done, all of those things were rubbish to him. I'm going to read to you now from Philippians 3, beginning with verse 3. We are the circumcision who worship God by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. No confidence in anything we can do. No confidence in being uber charitable this year. Okay? Now, being charitable is good. And if what you're going to do this year, I mean, there have been seasons where instead of giving presents to each other, because after all, we all have more junk than we know what to do with, we gave money to Compassion International, gave presents to people overseas. And that's a good thing to do. I'm not saying don't do that. I'm saying that doesn't make you righteous. Or you can make do-it-yourself gifts, right? So, all the presents that I get or that I gave this year were locally sourced. See, now that's not bad. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm just saying don't lay down at the end of the day and say, I'm a good person because I shop locally. See, these are all ways, these are all things that we use to make ourselves feel good about who we are. It's justification by local sourcing. Or you look at your calendar for the month of December and you say, see, I really am a woman of worth because I was invited to all the important parties, which, of course, I complained about the entire time. Or, I gave the perfect gift to my BFF, proving, of course, that I know her. So I'm a good friend. See, these things are all good, but they are ways that we look to make ourselves feel good about ourselves. Paul says, I put no confidence in any of that business. No confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh. If you want to brag about, you know, who's got bragging rights, Paul had them. If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews as to the law, a Pharisee as to zeal, a persecutor of the church. I was right on it. I had it all going. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. Righteousness unto the law, under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. Not that traditions are bad in themselves, but when it comes to the righteousness that I need to be able to have a heart that's at peace before a holy God, a heart that is quiet before a holy God, my traditions are rubbish. Our traditions are rubbish. in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, and here we are, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. Now, Paul said that I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. And that's big L law, like the commandments, which really there's just two, right? Just two commandments. Love God with your whole and love your neighbor. Right. See, your righteousness doesn't come from your ability to do that. And dear sisters, that's really, really good news. Because if your righteousness came from that, you would stand condemned before a holy God. You know why? Because that love God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself, that's not just at Christmas. That's 24 hours a day, every day of the week, every week of the year, your entire life. Loving God more than you love anything. Loving your neighbor more than you already love yourself. See, the good news is, your righteousness doesn't come from yourself. That's the best gift you've ever been given. Your righteousness comes from God. So whether it's big L law, like love God and your neighbor, or little L law, like making sure your turkey's perfect. Right? I just want, anytime you start a sentence with, I just want, that's a place you need to think. I really just want the food to look nice, and I really wanted, you know, I bought these candles, and they weren't supposed to have any scent at all. But, oh, they smell awful. My whole day is ruined. You know, you understand, right? See, that's not where your righteousness comes from. Your righteousness doesn't come from big L law, your own ability to obey big L law, love God and your neighbor, or little L law, which are all of the things that you put on yourself or this culture puts on you, perhaps even through social media. I mean, really, if I see another picture of how someone's house is perfect, you hear me? That's not where your righteousness comes from. Your ability to decorate your house, your ability to have the right presence. It's not where your righteousness comes from. Where does your righteousness come from? Christ alone. That's your gift this year. So the turkey can burn. Please no. But you know, it can burn. And the people you're expecting can get hung up in a snowstorm somewhere. And any of a number of things can happen here in Southern California, can they not? That's not where your righteousness is coming from. That's not where your joy in this season is coming from. So how would you know if you're expecting your traditions to save you? To make you feel okay or to make you feel righteous? Here are questions that you can ask yourself. You have adult kids who are going to the other in-laws and you didn't know it. The ladies who are my age just all giggled. When you get to the end of the event and you realize that it wasn't what you hoped it would be. Have you ever been there? Can I just tell you? It's not going to be what you hope it's going to be. So don't invest it with your heart. Are you angry? Do you get angry at this time of year? I mean, some of us just say, well, I'm really stressed. You know, you're stressed because you're investing these things. with something to make you ultimately righteous, make you ultimately okay, make you ultimately happy. They can't do it. I would have had a great Christmas had I been married. Had I been married to the right person. If I had children. If I had her children. You know, there's all sorts of ways that we invest this time of year with things we should never invest it with, because the whole point of this time of year is you can't be righteous on your own. That's the point. So are you angry or worried or filled with self-pity? Well, my husband lost his job, and so we don't have any money, and so I can't buy any presents for anybody. And that in itself is, I'm not making fun of that, except just to say then if I think that I can't have joy now because I can't do what I want to do, what I've always done, I'm missing the point. Because the point is that's not going to make me ultimately happy or righteous or good. So what do you do when your traditions don't save you? I will tell you, they will not save you. And tomorrow night, we're all going to pile into a 15-passenger van. And I'm going to say to my husband, didn't you tell them we needed one with a CD player? I mean, how are we supposed to listen to Space Ghost if we don't have it? Some of you know who that is. Really embarrassing. I shouldn't even have said Space Ghost, should I? No. So that's what Christmas is not. What I want you to do now is just think about his name. This is what the angel said to Mary, 14-year-old, maybe. 14-year-old little girl, virgin. She shall bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. What sins? Sins of anger and self-pity and self-indulgence. Sins of trying to make yourself okay. Of using his good gifts to try to make you okay. Does this resonate? I do it all the time. I try to use my theology or my understanding of scripture or my family or the things that we do. I try to use those things to make me okay. But they never will. Christ died for that sin of self-righteousness. Rather than resting in the righteousness of Christ alone. It isn't up to you to save your family from their sins. That's kind of good news, isn't it? Yes? See, sometimes we think that if we have good enough family somethings that our children will remember, that that means they'll grow up and serve Jesus. You can't do it. You can't do it. And you know, and you know that, don't you? You already know it. But then you're going to work yourself to death to try to make it wonderful because somehow you're hoping that the kid who's coming to visit, who's gone off the rails, will see the good stuff you're doing and will find Jesus. You can't do it. So enjoy the holiday. Love the kid who's coming to visit. Love him. And take that burden off of yourself and off of him too, if you would. Okay? He doesn't need to perform for you because you don't need anything from him. You have all your righteousness in Christ already. There you go. It's not up to you to make this time of year have meaning. See, this time of year has meaning whether you do anything about it or not. Because, I mean, I hate to state the obvious, but when the second person of the Godhead is born of a virgin girl in a cattle stall, that has meaning already. And then I want you to remember something. I'm saying this to you particularly because we're all Southern California women. I think we're very concerned, and I am as well, about what's going on. I mean, how far is San Bernardino away from here? Listen to me. The world that Jesus Christ was born into was far worse than we are right now in this country. We've lived in a time of unprecedented security and peace. Jesus doesn't need our unprecedented security and peace to work powerfully in people's lives. So we speak to our children, talk to them about sin and the results of sin, and we encourage them that God is sovereign and loving and wise, but then we're not shocked when our world acts like the world. Listen, it wasn't long after Jesus' birth that every male child, you know, we know this story, but we don't think about it. Every male child, every toddler, every infant in the town that was so blessed to have his birth was slaughtered. You think the government's bad here? They didn't need a warrant. There was no due process. The soldiers broke into the houses, and if you had a baby boy, he died that night. Welcome to Christmas. Do you see? Should we pray for our nation? Yes, of course. Should we seek to be righteous as we respond? Yes, of course. But I'll tell you what. The world, our little enclave here in Southern California, we're so blessed. And don't think Jesus can't move in this kind of a situation. These are the very situations that he really loves, in a sense. You understand, I'm not saying he loves the fact that people are being murdered. I'm saying that he works powerfully when everything else around us is falling apart and we no longer can put our trust in ourselves. It isn't up to us to make our kids okay or to make them love God or to make them righteous. That's really, really good news. Sometimes we think if they have really great memories, if I can just get all my kids to have really great memories of Christmas, then when they grow up, they'll serve Jesus. No, that's really no. His name tells us what he has done. From before his birth, his destiny was fixed. From before his birth, his destiny was fixed. He was born to live perfectly, fulfilling all God's law, which means that he perfectly obeyed his Father in our place and loved his neighbor in our place. He fulfilled all God's law, big L law, and then it was his destiny to die wretchedly, nakedly, in our place, out of great love for us. Listen, the reason he's born as a human is so that he has a body that will die. That's why he's given a body. He's given a body so that it can die in our place. That's such good news for us. And he knew exactly what he was doing. His very name tells us that the position of Savior has already been filled. Yay! See, you're not the Savior. Well, you all know that, don't you? It's like, thanks a ton, Elise. I didn't know that. Well, we do know it, right? But then we think that we still need to do it. I gotta be the savior. You know, that position is filled. Is that good news? See, so, you know, it's like, enjoy. Enjoy the season. Enjoy being with people. Enjoy what the season does in bringing us together. Or if you're alone, enjoy the fact that you don't need to have family in order to make you okay. You don't need to have family in order to make you okay. The position of Savior and Justifier has already been filled. From before his birth, his destiny was sent. He was sent to die. Why? Because you and I, this year, even though I'm standing here saying these things, I'm going to still try to justify myself. And you can all rejoice in it, but you're going to find yourself, I'm not a prophet, but you will find yourself undoubtedly at some point during the season unhappy because you're trying to justify yourself with this stuff. I knew there was a really great sale going on, and by the time I got there, it was over and I couldn't get that. Or, I have determined not to eat any gluten during the entire holiday season. And then, yeah. Then there's those sugar cookies that are iced. I mean, seriously? It's like crack cocaine. I eat one, it's over. Okay? We continue to do the same thing over and over and over again. The good news is, even in that, the position of Savior has already been filled. Look at the person next to you and say, the position of Savior has already been filled. Okay, now if you're saying that to your pal, then say to your pal also, if you see me trying to be a savior this year, I give you permission to tell me. Oh, I don't know, I'm not saying that. I'll just tell you, if you find yourself angry or worried or filled with self-pity, then just, you know, remember we had this talk. His very name, Jesus, he shall save his people from their sins. When he cried, it is finished. When he cried that, listen, not in great victory. I mean, it is to us, but it wasn't to him. He had cried, my God, why have you forsaken me? That wasn't like a false cry. He was isolated and alone. And the man who had lived his entire life underneath God's benediction, underneath his smile, was alone. And felt for the first time in his existence the wrath of God. See, we live in that. You know? I mean, if you were a person who grew up in the Swiss Alps and you came to Los Angeles, you would notice the smog. Right? But that's where we live. We live in that atmosphere. We don't even notice it. We live with the consciousness of sin and the possibility of condemnation. We live there all the time. He had never lived there. And so when he cried out, it is finished. Listen to me. It really, really was. And he cried out in weakness and in shame and in humility, being executed for our sins. You don't need to make up for your sins, and you don't need to save anybody. It's already done. Your salvation has already been accomplished. Oh, God, thank you. Because I keep trying to do it. I keep trying to do that. So then, what are we supposed to do? Well, believe. Really? Yeah, but I got in. No, believe. A group of people came to Jesus and they said, what must we do to gain eternal life? And Jesus could have given them a list of things to do. I'm not saying don't ever work or don't ever seek to obey, just not as a way to merit righteousness. Jesus said, believe on the one whom he has sent. Believe on me. What do you need to do this year? Believe. And trust. God, you've got this. You have me, even though I keep falling back into the same sins of trying to justify myself, trying to make myself okay. I keep falling back into those sins, and because of that, I continue to be angry or worried or filled with self-pity or self-indulgent. Lord, thank you. You've saved me from that sin. That really drives my sin. So we trust and we rest. Like, big breath in. Whew. Just rest. Listen, I'm quite sure your list of things you need to do is very similar to mine. Rest. Whatever gets done, gets done. I don't know if it's because I just turned 65 or maybe I'm maturing in Christ. It's probably because I just turned 65. I have really come to the understanding that if it doesn't happen, whatever it is, it's really okay. See, because Christmas isn't really all about me accomplishing anything. It's about him and what he's accomplished. You know? So you just say, if it doesn't get done, it doesn't get done. See, say that to your friend. Now. Okay. And now, tell your friend that if you start to freak out about stuff not getting done, that she can say, oh no, you're forgetting what Elise said. Yeah, not so much talking there. I don't know why. Okay, and then what do? We rejoice. See, we rejoice. Why? Because it is what?
Finished.
It's finished. See, the Christmas celebration is finished. It's finished. So work and love and lay down your life and go shop and eat gluten and, you know, rejoice. Because everything you really needed has already been given to you in Christ. Everything you really need has already been given to you in Christ. Everything. So then you can rejoice. So we celebrate our traditions, knowing that our traditions won't save us, but enjoying them as shadows of the real joy that's ours because of him. I just finished the most difficult writing project I've done. I just wrote a book on heaven. See, Everything that's lovely about Christmas is just a shadow of the big party we're going to have when we get there. And sit around talking to friends, talking about how wonderful Jesus is, and then he'll come walking up. And we'll say, we were just talking about you. See, this is all just shadow. We live in shadow land. So enjoy the shadows. It's what we have right now. But they're just shadows. And honestly, 1,000 years from now, no one's going to talk about your turkey. Just saying. So then what do? We remember that little baby lying there in that stone feeding trough, covered in amniotic fluid, wrapped in coarse rags, and shivering in the cold. And we remember that he is actually God the Word covered in flesh, sent to give us the best gift ever given, the gift of forgiveness of sins, perfect righteousness, and eternal life. We remember this. Remember that. And then we remember this. And we rejoice. Now, I want to say something. Many of you have been Christians for loads and loads of years. And that's a wonderful, glorious thing. I want to challenge you this year to find all your righteousness in Christ alone. See, and that'll free you, and it'll make you want to serve your neighbor. Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. And some of you haven't ever really given yourself to Christ because you thought it meant that you had to do all these wonderful, magical, kind of holy things. Believe. He calls you, believe. And what that means is you have to stop putting your trust in yourself and your own ability to be good enough and throw yourself on the mercy of Christ alone. And he has promised, if you come to me, I will not cast you out. Give yourself a present this year. The righteousness from Christ, not by your works, but by faith in him alone. Let me pray for you now. Father in heaven, thank you. We confess that we continually seek to make ourselves righteous in our own eyes. And that really flows, Lord, out of our desire to avoid the humiliation of having to say we can't make ourselves righteous. So we pray that you would forgive us. And we thank you that even in that, even that avoiding of the very work you came to do, you say that you forgive us. So we thank you. May we be conduits of love and mercy and joy to everyone around us, Lord, and in all of the times that we find ourselves worried or angry or fretful or filled with self-pity, may we throw ourselves on the mercy of Christ and thank him that he's given us everything. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.